Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're discussing the question, how can I encourage my kids to have their own personal quiet time?
Yeah, this question is one that I have thought through a lot myself, especially as my kids got into middle school, high school. It's your kids getting older. They've made a profession of faith. You want to see them doing certain things to grow spiritually. So I've wondered this. I've talked to other parents who have kids that they're wondering the same thing. So I think this should be helpful for a lot of folks.
Good stuff. Well, let's start with remembering that this is a function of God's grace.
Right. God is the one ultimately who's going to draw us into communion with himself. And of course, he's going to use means to do that. But we've said already before in past episodes that you can't change people. But of course, in the case of your kids, you actually can exert pressure on them to change their behavior. You can use your authority over them to make them do things. And in most areas of behavior with your kids, I mean, I would actually advocate doing that. You know, I want to make my kids not steal. Mm. I want to make them be respectful of adults. There's a tendency, I think, among some people to take the shepherding a child's heart thing a little bit too far and say, you know, I don't want to force my kids to obey until their hearts are there. Well, I really don't care if my kids want to be respectful of adults. They're going to be. Their hearts can come along at some point, but they're going to do that. They're not going to steal. I don't care if they don't feel like it or whatever. But so I do want to shepherd their hearts, but on a lot of things, I'm going to conform their behavior whether their hearts are there or not. But the question is, do I want to do that with this? Do I want to make my kids have a quiet time? This question assumes the answer is no, because the way that we've phrased the question, how can I encourage my kids to have their own personal quiet time? So we're saying, don't make your kids have a quiet time.
What are some of the dangers of making your kids have a quiet time?
I think that they can begin, if you make them do it, they can begin to associate it with things like taking out the trash and flossing and eating vegetables. It's a chore. Oh, so, you know, there's the danger of making spending time with the Lord taste bad mentally. It also works against the idea that this is a relationship thing that we're talking about. So if we make them do it, that lends itself to the idea that this is just a to-do list thing.
Yeah.
It's not a relationship to be enjoyed. And it can breed legalism and an unhealthy understanding of how the Christian life works. I mean, I just think there are problems with making your kids have a quiet time.
Well, what about providing incentives?
You mean like cash and electronics?
Here, just take this 20.
Yeah, here's a 20. Here's a 20.
Check this box when you're done.
Yes, go spend time with Jesus, and you can have Assassin's Creed at the end of the month. I don't recommend that either, because I tried it, and it worked while the incentives were there, but it did not give them a heart for it. Hmm. During the time that the incentive was there, the reward for having a quiet time wasn't simply enjoying the Lord, but it was the consumer electronics that they couldn't stop thinking about that Dad was going to give them once they'd met this goal. So I was trying to encourage my kids to read varying sections of the Bible. So my oldest son, I wanted him to read like all of the New Testament and most of the Old Testament in a certain time period. And then my younger daughter under him, all of the New Testament. And then my son under him, a portion of the New Testament. And if they did this, then they were going to get this prize. Well, they did it. I mean, and
must have been a good prize.
It was a good prize. And now no one has the prize anymore, and they're all trying to sell them on eBay. But at the time, it was the only thing in the world that mattered was getting that prize. But once they got the prize, the habit did not continue. And my hope was, they're going to get in there and they're going to love the word, and the Lord's going to grab their hearts. And even when they get that Kindle Fire or whatever that thing was, this train is going to keep on trucking, and for the rest of their lives they're going to be in the word. Well, that did not happen. The incentive has to be the Lord himself, and I can't prime that pump with some other kind of artificial incentive. So my counsel would be, don't make them, don't bait them, understand that this is about God's grace. Now, you can influence them. The question is, how do we do that?
Well, we should model it, right?
Yes, we should model it. That's a big deal. Think about all the times in the New Testament that Paul says things like, imitate me. 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Philippians 3:17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So in that one, he says, imitate me and imitate anybody who's like me. And then Philippians 4:9, just a chapter later, he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. So we could say that Paul sets an example of setting an example for less mature believers. So there's got to be something to that. Living the Christian life in front of people, living a life of devotion in front of other people, to show them how tasty the Lord is. And see that the Lord is good. When you see someone, and I think of this wonderful woman in the Lord, Susan Carter, who used to be a member here at Providence Bible Fellowship. She's moved to Fellowship. I just remember watching her enjoying the Lord on a daily basis. It was so encouraging to me. It still is, because we correspond via email occasionally. She's an example of kind of a Paul who loved the Lord in front of me and encouraged me to be in the Word and be in prayer. And so this is a thing in the New Testament. Setting an example for people who are less mature in the faith than you. So if you're not walking with the Lord by having family devotions, then your kids are not going to do it. So we're kind of assuming, as we answer this question, that you are. So the do as I say, not as I do thing is not going to work in the world of spiritual leadership. I had really good models in my parents and my uncle and my grandfather when I got saved. So I was born into a family of believers, both my parents and my mom's dad, my mom's brother. I just remember being a little kid and just seeing my dad praying every morning. I associate my dad with prayer. I associate my mom with the Bible. I just remember seeing these things as I was a little kid. I remember my grandfather every morning that I ever went and stayed with him. When I got up, he was sitting in his lazy boy reading his Bible. My uncle Pat, who is a pastor down in Texas, same way. It's just he was always talking about his quiet time with the Lord and talking to other people about it. And so this was just normal to me. I mean, the believers around me made it the norm. So in my mind, this is just what Christians do. So when I was saved, and I was saved relatively young, I was about 6 years old, so I never had a quiet time out of duty. And from the time that I was 6 years old to the time that I got married, now this is going to sound nuts. You may not believe this. But from the time I was six until I got married, I could probably count on two hands the number of days that I did not spend time in the Word and in prayer. And that's all God's grace, right? But God uses means to bring that to bring that kind of thing about in people's lives. And one of the means that He used in my life, apart from just the Holy Spirit drawing me to Himself, was all of these godly influences in my life, just showing me that this is what people do. People enjoy Jesus by spending time with Him. So these people in my life, they love the Lord in an infectious way, so that this in my mind, this is just what Christians do. So I wanted to do the same thing. And so I would say to parents, love Jesus in front of your kids. There's more to this than just your kids knowing that you have a quiet time, and certainly you can have conversations about this and talk about, you know, what you're reading personally, but love the Lord in front of them. And this is where the spiritual models in my life did such a great job. They obviously loved Jesus. It was not simply that I saw them pouring coffee into their eyes every morning and forcing themselves to do something that they didn't want to do. They loved the Lord in an infectious way, and I wanted to love him the way that they did. I wanted to know Jesus the way that they knew him. So I wanted to spend time with him the way that they did. And it was just, that was a means that the Lord used. So set the example, model it for them.
Yeah, I have to piggyback on that.
Please.
As a new believer, the thing that drew me the most to the scriptures, to holy living, was seeing other people who did those things, or at least I thought they did, but I did see them on occasion, how much they loved the Lord, and I wanted that. I mean, you've already hit that point, but I want to hit it even further. That was the thing that excited me the most. That, I mean, I couldn't wait to get in the scriptures, and still can't, simply because of those people's influences in my life.
And you're somebody that I would point to as a great example of what can happen when somebody is surrounded by those kinds of influences, because I remember when I met you. You were a new believer, but you had an intimacy with the Lord and a familiarity with the Scriptures, and were applying the Scriptures in your life in a way that a lot of people don't until they've been believers for a really long time. And it was just obvious that you had been spending a lot of time with the Lord, and that has to be, among other things, the influence of other believers in your life.
Yeah, so praise local, God for that. Yeah, right? The local church is a necessity.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, thirdly, talk about it.
Talk about it. And what we mean by this is just talk about the importance of spending time with the Lord. In our family worship in the Birdwell home, we talk frequently about how much we need the Lord, how much we need to spend time with him. We talk about this three-legged stool of sanctification. The three-legged stool being God has given these three tools to the church to help us grow spiritually, and the three legs, just briefly, are the word and prayer and fellowship with the saints. And if any one of those three legs is missing, then we're going to have a very difficult, well, it's going to be impossible for us, in fact, to grow spiritually. And so my kids hear this all the time. That doesn't mean that they then get up from the table and go and run and spend time with the Lord, but they hear it all the time. So every conversation in our family worship, most of them anyway, have somehow come back to how important it is for us to spend time with the Lord. But then every conversation that I have with my kids about, especially my older kids, about sin issues that they're struggling with, come back to this three-legged stool too. And I'm always asking them, how are you plugging in to these three legs of the stool? Are you in the Word? Are you praying? Are you fellowshipping, having meaningful Christ-centered conversations with other believers? So they're kind of being indoctrinated, so to speak, with this idea that it's just vital that I have this daily relationship with the Lord. And they're being prompted to ask themselves, I think, where am I deriving my strength for the things that I'm dealing with?
Yeah. If I can make a recommendation too, mm-hmm. if you ever want to be spurred on, read even Puritan quotes about spiritual disciplines, and you will instantly feel conviction and your need. And I mean this, it's partly joking, but I'm being serious. Like a quote alone. I mean, there have been believers who've gone before us. And so you're talking about the family here, but also our family of brothers and sisters in Christ. Reading about these things is so helpful.
Yes.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. for sure. And for a lot of people, a Puritan quote is about all they can handle in a day's time.
Yep, you have to sit and digest that.
Yeah, they're so good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Greg, we also need to be sure to present the quiet time as an avenue for a relationship to be enjoyed, not a task to be done.
Yeah, and that is a tricky thing to do, because in the midst of talking to them about how important it is for them to do this, especially in terms of their ability to combat sin and walk faithfully with the Lord, they can begin to have this idea of the quiet time as a spiritual vending machine, so that I put in these three coins in the form of spending time with God in the Word, spending time with God with prayer, spending time with the Lord through other saints, and then he spits out self-control and help with this sin that I'm dealing with. And that's it's not a I'm paying God for the help that he gives me. So we have to work hard not to give that kind of idea. It's a relationship. These are this three-legged stool. These are avenues of fellowship with a person. And what I'm doing with those three avenues of fellowship is growing in my affection for Jesus. And it's my love for him as it grows causes me to hate my sin more and more and love the world less and less. And my sin has less and less of a hold on me, and righteousness calls to me more and more. And it's all because I'm loving Jesus more and more, because I'm spending time with a person, not plugging spiritual coins into a vending machine.
Right.
So he is our life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and God is, he is faithful. If we commit ourselves to these things, it's not... I think it's important to think, you do have to come up against that genie mentality. If I do this, then God is obligated to do that. He is faithful. He will do these things, just not always in the timing that we think.
Yeah.
We might not always see the fruit of these things, but he works all things for good for those who are called according to his purposes. So it's important to persevere.
That's right.
And that brings us to our last point, really. And this has been a point in several other episodes, but we're going to keep using it because it's vital in the Christian life. Pray.
Just pray for your kids. And I think this is probably a preaching to the choir kind of thing, but just ask the Lord to draw your child's heart. This literally is something that I pray for my kids every day, that the Lord will draw them to the Word and to fellowship with him in prayer. And we believe that he answers prayer. So... it's a good discipline for us to pray for them, and we need to pray believing, James says, because if we pray not believing, then we're a double-minded man tossed like the waves.
Yeah. Helpful.
Amen.
Well, till next time, Greg.
All right. See ya.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.